Okay, Ryan, let's see the Shalom. Reish Chafei.
Any Gemara uses Reish Chafei?
Oh, yeah, there are, but then. Okay, around the bottom paragraph. In the end, Vasisa Yoshava Toiv, the concept of you shall do what is straight and good in the eyes of Hashem, Shaykh B'chol Anyanim, is relevant to all matters. B'chol Asiyasha Yehudi Oisa, every act that a Jew does, tzarech lehizbonen. He needs to contemplate. Im tov hi b'einei Hashem, is this going to be good in the eyes of Hashem? Am I or not? Gam b'chol inyanei olam hazeh. So also on all matters of this world, v'inyanei heter, and all permissible matters, yachshav, a person should think, im hu lerotza in the b'nei Hashem, is this going to be willful in the eyes of Hashem. Chem echol diburav. So also, whenever a person speaks, afid binyanei machshava, and even in matters of thought, shaychin is that this concept is relevant. A person always has to think, is this what Hashem wants? Well, pima di isib yisod ha'avayda, and this is according to what is written in the Sefer Yisod ha'avayda al-Pasuk, on the pasuk Shama Aharon Hakohen Moshe, where Aharon says to Moshe, "Hey, na yoyim ikriwes chatosim esadosim lefnei Hashem, v'tekreno isi kaela, v'chalti chatos hayoyim ayita v'enei Hashem." It says over there that this was right after Nadab and Avihu were killed, and Aharon Hakohen, it was on the same day they were killed on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Korban of Rosh Chodesh was brought on that day, and usually the Kohen has to eat it. Aharon HaKohen figured that since he's an Oinen, at the day of his son's passing, that it is not appropriate for him to eat the Korban. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he found out that the Korban wasn't eaten, was very upset. It says Moshe got angry with them, with Aharon and his sons. So Aharon said to Moshe, on a day that such a thing happened, and had I eaten the chatas, would it have found favor in the eyes of Hashem? Shloi Omar, Aharon HaKohen didn't say, "Im zei yakatoyroi kalocha." Aharon HaKohen didn't say, "Would this have been proper according to halacha or according to Torah?" That's not what he said. He said, "Would it have found favor in the eyes of Hashem?" That's what he said. Tola im yita bein Hashem. That is what. That's all he thought about. And it says, "Vayishma Moshe." When Moshe heard this, "Vayita bein of," it found favor in his eyes. That is meaning huta bein of shikla das was a. It found favor in Moshe's eyes. This type of thinking. Shikol masa tzorach liyaz api shikla das im yita bein Hashem. Every act needs to be according to. A person has to think, is this going to find favor in Hashem's eyes?
Can this sounds like it can overrule halacha.
No. So what he's saying is that Aharon, apparently this was the first time such a situation had occurred. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was going to determine what the halacha is. Right? Aharon HaKohen at the time did not know what the halacha would be. Right? So Aharon HaKohen, not knowing what the halacha would be, had to think on his own, what should I do? Right? And his theory was, his thought process was, would this find favor in Hashem's eyes if I would eat this? And he came to the conclusion that it wouldn't. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to determine that the halacha should be, that's why he got angry with Aaron, was that the halacha should be that a kohen gadol should eat it even though he's an einan. But what he, when Aaron HaKohen justified himself and said, well, listen, Moshe, this is why I didn't eat it, because this was my thought process, I found favor in Moshe's eyes. That's, if that's the way you're thinking, Aaron, then you're, that's fine. I believe that the halacha still is that a kohen gadol is supposed to eat the carbon even though he's an einan. But what found favor in Moshe's eyes was the way Aaron was thinking.
So he might theoretically have said, I like the way you're thinking, but you're wrong.
Right. Okay.
I think what we have to learn is just the way that he thinks, which is tremendous. That Aaron HaKohen, that we don't think like that, is tremendous.
Yep.
That's what I think we can take away.
Also shows you just because you think it's obvious, it's not always.
Right. I also think that since we have no concept whatsoever what Hashem really wants, and we say, there are so many times that we justify ourselves. Right, when in this certain situations, we're just, I'm sure Hashem wouldn't have any problem with this. Where really it's our own bias that's speaking. Right, we're not able to think objectively. So, I think it's important for all of us to have a certain person in our life that represents to us what is right and what is wrong. And we have to be able to think if that person would see me doing this, would he approve or not? Hashem, okay, it's very difficult to know what he's thinking.
So what Yosef seeing Yaakov's face.
Right, that was the when Yosef had the Nisayan. I'm sure there were numerous justifications. Chazal even say that there were justifications. When he saw his father, he envisioned his father, he knew right away that this wasn't something he should be doing. Rashmoy's inyan tevila v'bal tshuva. And now the meaning of tevila. He said earlier that every Baal Tshuva, every person that does Tshuva, needs to go through the Geirus process, which includes Mila and Tvila, circumcision and immersion. Now, and obviously we're only talking in a theoretical sense, we're not talking about an actual sense. The Baal Tshuva doesn't have to have another Bris Mila. What? Some people wouldn't be that bad. So what does the immersion mean? Huenin is batlus mochletus. What immersion in the mikveh means is a concept of total self nullification. Shehudit sarach levatos yeshusa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew has to nullify their entire self to Hashem. Yis kolil bebchinas ayin. He should be totally. He should achieve this level called ayin, which is nothingness. V'chinas mikveh Yisrael Hashem. A concept of, it says in the Pasuk that Hashem is the mikveh of every Yid. You know, a person is toivling in the Rabbeinu Shlom, which means total nullification to Hashem. A person is immersing himself in Hashem. Although the Yitzhak of Kedushas Levi, as it says in the Kedushas Levi, these are his words. V'yadua, it is known. She'en yom ha-kippur, mechaber, ad shi'ach nasa'at shmai legedra ayin. The Kedushas Levi says, it is known that yom ha-kippurim does not atone for a person until he enters the category of ayin. Ayin means nothingness. She'yom the person should say, ani v'chala shali, I and everything that I have, v'chol kol chayzai, shali, and all of my strengths, hakol lehu la'avodas baruch. Everything belongs to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. V'hoz mizdavak debchinas ayin, and the person is able to connect to this concept of ayin. V'zeh hoya kavonas ha'ishtachavoya shal yom ha'kippurim v'beis ha'mikdash. And this was the intent of the prostration on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. Prostration means totally giving oneself totally over to Hashem. They would nullify themselves to this concept of Ayin to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Rabir Devarov, and the explanation of the words of the Kedushas Levi are Shleishayachin in Kapora, it's the whole concept of atonement is not relevant. When the person is a yesh nifrad, when the person is a something that is separate, ad she is batal kula elav yizborach, a person needs to totally nullify himself to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. V'chein, and so also einat tshuva mechaperes, so also tshuva.
What you said yesterday, but what is one of the three things?
Yeah, I was talking about Balsa Torah. He's talking about atonement.
Okay, so
I'm saying
accomplished things.
And there's also a difference between achanoa, which is subjugation, and nullification. Mm-hmm. I could still, I guess, be something and subjugated to others or to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Here he's saying it means total nullification. To the point that the person shouldn't feel separate at all from Hashem. So also tshuva does not atone unless the person totally nullifies himself to this concept of nothingness. That is the immersion in the mikveh that we're talking about when we talk about tshuva having to go through tevila. That is what tefillah in the mikveh is. That is the kavana of going when a person goes to the mikveh. The kavana is totally negating himself to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And through that, the tumah, the tumah goes away from the person. It says that when a person there's a vessel, you have a vessel, there are two ways to, if a vessel extracted tumor, if a vessel becomes tome, there is two ways to get rid of the tumor.
Absorbed.
If it has tumor, right, it was tome. Somebody, a dead person, was touched by a dead person, a dead body, or a sheretz, whatever. So there are two ways to get rid of the tumor. One, you could put it into the mikveh. The second is you can break it. If you break the keli and then put it back together again, then it doesn't have the tumah anymore. Because once it's broken, it's not a keli anymore. It's not a, so therefore it doesn't have any tumah. You put it back together again. So now it's a new keli. What he's saying here is that when a person goes into the mikveh, they're totally negating themselves, so they're no longer the I that they were. When they come out of the mikveh, they're a new person, so the tumah is no longer there. So the going to the mikveh and the breaking work the same way. It's the same vessel that went into the mikveh, it's not the same vessel that came out of the mikveh. And what he's saying is that the person also has those two. you have those two approaches. You can go to the mikveh, and you actually have the actual act of immersion, which requires the thought process of immersion also, which is negating oneself. But you can just break yourself outside of the mikveh. You don't have to necessarily go to the mikveh. I mean, obviously, for real tumah, it's not going to work. But for a person that has tumah of averus, right, which requires, for when a person does tshuva, requires tefillah. He's saying that tefillah is a theoretical tefillah, which is you can break yourself. You can just negate yourself to the Rabbeinu Shlaylam, and then when the tumah automatically dissipates from the person because it's the person no longer is no longer there.
But with the breaking, we're talking like one leg, a few fingers.
Breaking spirit.
Oh. The only thing is, it's dangerous to start breaking your spirit, and the Yetzer Hara gets a hold of you and puts you into depression and says you're nothing, and then you feel.
Well, like we're talking about subjugating oneself to Hashem. Usually, if you're connecting to Hashem, you're not going to get you're not going to get depressed.
Just going to the
mikveh,
what does it do?
No, just going to the mikveh, what he's saying now is just going to the mikveh is not going to work. You need to have that thought process as well. Sometimes it's easier when you're doing the act to actually internalize it. And real tumah, you need to go to the mikveh. I mean, physical tumah, you need a physical mikveh. Right. Spiritual to me, need a spiritual mic. What?
I said first get rid of the sherets, that's all.
Right.
Otherwise, we'll fit it in hell.
Chinis and Maral. It is also written so in the Maral, Behotadosh Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's Rosha, Allah Posuk, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. It says in the Posuk, by Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titoru, before Hashem, you should purify yourself. Says Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you Yisrael. Mi metara eschem, who purifies you? Avichem Sheba Shemaim, your Father in Heaven. That's right. It's coming up. We should be learning this next week. V'ayim ha-mikveh Yisrael Hashem. And it says in the Pasuk, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh of a Yid. Shekemoi betahar, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Just like when a person purifies himself in a mikveh. when the person that's tameh immerses himself in the mikveh without any separation between himself and the water. And he connects himself in the mikveh. Where in the mikveh, it's not possible for a mikveh to become tameh. It's mesula kumin atumah, since he is totally immersing himself in a body that tumah is not possible there. Therefore, the tumah goes away from him. Kein taharosam. So also taharosam shal Yisrael. So also is the purification of a Jew. Aideshem tevekim bo Yisbarach. Since by connecting to Hashem the Gamri. The chasherem tevekim bo. When they connect to Hashem, that itself removes the Avera. Just like connecting to the mikveh removes the tumah, so also connecting to Hashem removes the Avera. HaTvila HaZois, this Tvila, this immersion in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this connection to Hashem, ma'aviyah soy liyos Yehudi, that brings a person to be a proper Jew. Ki agoy, because let's say a non-Jew, avim u'machsida m'soylem, even if he is the righteous among the nations of the world, v'gam imamin v'Hashem, and he believes in Hashem, shu bo'i imanik, that Hashem creates the world and conducts the world, v'makayim es ha-mitzvahs, and this non-Jew performs all the mitzvahs.
What?
Let's say he does all the mitzvahs.
You mean the mitzvahs of a non-Jew?
All the mitzvahs. But he doesn't go to the mikveh.
Okay.
Still a non-Jew. Right? Ava mitziusa yiyash ha-zafredes. Meaning, if he specifically, since he hasn't gone through the theoretical mikveh, It means that his entire essence is a separate existence. He doesn't have the power of nullification to nothingness before Hashem. Until he converts himself through going to the mikveh, through immersion, which immersion means total nullification to Hashem. And this is what we find by Avraham Avinu Kishnitzava al Hamila, when he was commanded to perform the Bris Mila. It says, "Is halach lefanai, walk before me, ve'yei somim, and be perfect." Va'ato es brisi tishmor, and you shall observe my covenant. Ve'ilu le'tvila le'itztarach. But Avraham Avinu, why didn't Avraham Avinu need immersion in the mikveh? Right, that was his geiris, right? He became, Hashem told him to circumcise himself.
He broke himself.
He says, because that is what Avraham Avinu was, his entire essence was the concept of immersion. It was totally nullified to Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, I am, as Avraham Avinu said, I am dust and ashes. He was totally in this concept of nothingness, totally nullified to Hashem.
And before Kabbalah Satorah, did they?
Before Kabbalah Satorah, theoretical Tevila was good enough.
I thought they did go in the mikveh.
Because they were only theoretical Jews.
I thought part of the whole process was they did go in the mikveh like a few days.
Right before Kabbalah Satorah, they went to
mikveh. Yeah. Oh,
and then they fell asleep.
Was that hot mikveh? And Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah before it was given, as the Chazal say. How is that? That Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah? He says, because he circumcised his heart in Urkazim back in the beginning when he was growing up, and he went into the fiery furnace. That was when he circumcised the foreskin of his heart. And he always was looking for, what does Hashem want from me? What will find favor in Hashem's eyes? Through that, Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah. And what he's saying is that he was observed the entire Torah in a theoretical sense, more than, not in an actual sense. He didn't go to the mikveh, and possibly that he didn't know many of the mitzvahs, but his approach to life was, what will this find favor in Hashem's eyes? And Chazal tell us that through that he was able to observe the entire Torah.
Did he have to go to the mikveh? Because he wasn't, he didn't do a veiris, he didn't have tumah, so he didn't have to necessarily go.
Well, he first recognized Hashem when either, according to one measure, he was 3, according to another measure, he was 48. So there was a certain period of time that he didn't recognize Hashem altogether. So one would have thought that Hashem.
Even when you say attack, he was considering what Hashem would want him to do. It was just a guess.
What?
He was guessing what Hashem would.
Right. So according to what he's saying now, is what they're saying is that the purpose of what he's saying is that the purpose of the Torah is to train a person to do what is right in Hashem's eyes. That is the purpose of the Torah. So when it says that Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah, according to what he's saying now, what he's saying is that Avraham Avinu observed what the Torah is all about. which is to always be concerned about what does Hashem want from me now. Right, that's what he's saying now.
It's not a dangerous idea, though, no?
What?
It's a dangerous idea, though.
That what?
Saying that you could accomplish God's will without doing His will. You could please Hashem without doing His mitzvah.
You can't. Now that we know what His mitzvahs are, we can't.
Of course. Now we do know what right. You do. You don't have to guess.
Right, and there are many areas where you do have to guess.
Right.
Because not everything is written in the text.
Right.
And this is more understood according to what is written in the Holy Sfarim. Avraham Avinu kiddush kol kachas evorav, that Avraham Avinu sanctified his limbs to the point until his limbs would only perform the will of Hashem. L'chein, therefore, b'pashas ha'akeda, when it came to the Akeda, when it came to slaughtering Yitzchak, because it says, "Vayishlach Avram es yada," it says Avram sent his hand, and he took the knife to slaughter his son. Meloshem vayishlach es yada, from the word that he sent his hand, mashma, it seems ki yada le nishmala, it seems that his hand didn't want to do it. Why? Sharet et sonu yizbaruch hayo shlo yishchet es Yitzchak, because Hashem's real will was that he shouldn't slaughter Yitzchak, and he had trained his limbs such that they should only do the will of Hashem. So his hand didn't want to go. So he had to send his hand forcefully to force his hand to take the knife. The Kiddush Levi says, the Badishvarov says that in explaining how Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah before it was given, so he explains that there are, in the Torah, there are 248 positive mitzvahs and 365 negative mitzvahs, and they correspond to a person's 248 limbs and 365 sinews. So, and the Kiddush Levi says that just like when you don't have to train a person, even a baby, right, knows how to eat. Right? As soon as they're able to eat, they know how to eat. Right, meaning the physical limbs know how to achieve their physical sustenance automatically. It's just an automatic sense that the physical limb has to its physical need. You don't have to teach it what to do. Says the Kedusha Levi, so also the spiritual limbs automatically will know what their spiritual sustenance is. So if a person's if the mitzvah of tzitzis, right, sustains a spiritual limb, and the mitzvah of tefillin sustains another spiritual limb, the spiritual limb will automatically know what sustains it, just like the physical limb knows what in physicality it needs to sustain it. It says it's just that we're physical people, so our physical limbs automatically know what our physical need is. It says, but we're not in touch with our spiritual self usually, so that's why we don't know, unless we go and learn about it, what is our spiritual needs. He says, but someone who is able to purify themselves, that they should be more in touch with their spiritual needs than with their physical needs, says the Kiddush Levi, they will automatically know what the spiritual need of their spiritual limbs are. He explained that when I asked yesterday with Shal Shudas, it says we by Dayana we say had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, it would have been sufficient. So he asked the same question, how would that have been sufficient? So he says that when we came to Har Sinai, we had risen to the type of level of Avraham Avinu that we were totally in touch with our spirituality to the point that we automatically knew all of the mitzvahs. Our spiritual limbs knew all the spiritual, the mitzvahs asay, and mitzvahs les asay. We didn't even need Hashem to tell us what the mitzvahs were. So that's why it would have been sufficient.
This is more common than others than just Avraham Avinu. For example, how does a ger know to become a ger? It's not following halacha. It's not required to become a ger. So it must be.
He has an neshama that's knows, pulling him towards Yiddishkeit.
He knows that this is a spiritual need in the same way that the baby doesn't need to be taught how to eat.
Right, but he still wouldn't. Yeah, in some sense, right, that's true. But he still wouldn't know what to do unless he'd go and learn about it.
No, of course not. He wouldn't know the detail, but would know the know the big part.
Oh wow, it's late.